This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
This is Pop Culture Confidential, and I'm Christina Yerling Biru. Hey everyone, welcome to Pop Culture Confidential and this deep dive into the artistry and costumes of Martin Scorsese's Killers of the Flower Moon. Killers of the Flower Moon, based on David Graham's nonfiction bestseller, is about the horrendous murders of members of the Osage tribe in 1920s Oklahoma after oil was found on their land. The mysterious murders sparked an FBI investigation. Robert De Niro stars, and Lily Gladstone is phenomenal as Molly, an Osage woman at the center of the story who marries Ernest Burkhart, played by Leonardo DiCaprio.
Whose land is this? My land.
Well, 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 our war hero has arrived.
You made a good choice coming back here. Osage are the finest, wealthiest, and most beautiful people on God's earth. They outsmarted everybody.
They have the say. Who gets the oil?
Son, I got a question. You like women?
That's my weakness.
Well, we mix these families together, and that estate money flows the right direction. It'll come to us.
Shomikasi. That's how you are.
I don't know what you said, but it must have been Indian for handsome devil.
Why did you come here?
Killers of the Flower Moon is epic in scope, and Scorsese has strived on every level for authenticity and worked with the very best, including many artisans and consultants from the Osage community. I was very happy for the opportunity to talk to costume designer and four-time Oscar nominee Jacqueline West. She's worked on films like The Revenant and Dune. And Julie O'Keefe, member of the Osage tribe and lead Osage wardrobe consultant on the film. And the artistry and history behind their work on Killers of the Flower Moon is really fascinating. Because of the oil below their land, the Osage Nation was the richest community in the world. They bought Parisian fashion, silk hats, and had a Tiffany's counter at the trading post. All this blended beautifully with their tribal clothes, traditional blankets, feathers, and finger-woven belts. And because of their wealth, the Osage were also able to afford to take photographs at a cost of $800 per minute. So there's a bounty of incredible photography of members of the Osage Nation. And the weddings were spectacular. Miss O'Keefe and Miss West talk about the incredible wedding party and dress worn by Lily Gladstone as Molly, refashioned from military coats with an incredible backstory. I've put up some pictures in the show notes at popcultureconfidential.com and on Instagram at Christina Biro so you can take a look while we're talking. I asked Julie O'Keefe, who grew up in the heart of the Osage Nation and is the film's lead wardrobe consultant, what Martin Scorsese's approach was to the costumes and their work with them.
Authenticity. And that's really the key word for me. When I walked in, I really understood, standing in Jackie's studio, that everything that she was working on had been passed in front of him. But, you know, he has raised the bar so incredibly high for these type of period stories now that I think it's going to be a new standard in Hollywood, because natives are ready to have their stories told authentically and now have a voice to do so. And here's the example of how you do it. And that is exactly what we've all really kind of been waiting for as a Native people. So I really was so impressed by everyone that he surrounds himself with, because every department had that level of that high of a bar for every single department.
Miss West, I understand that you have a quite academic approach. You do deep research. There are so many photographs of the Osage community from this period. How did you use them?
We don't know a lot as, you know, non-Osage Americans about them. So I decided to dive in, and I do it because I was an art historian. I'm a very visual person, and I love photographs. I'm married to an ex British Vogue photographer. I mean, I have libraries in all my houses of walls of books, and they're mostly photographs, you know, and black and white, especially. It was a joy to sit during COVID at my house in Deadwood and just print photographs and make boards. And I realized that the Osage had a really unique style and look that none of the other Plains nations that I had portrayed in movies, in other films, it was different than any of those. Even though they were using a lot of materials from trade and from trading posts, like French ribbon and Czechoslovakian beads and French jet beads and beautiful yarns and German silver, for the silversmiths, it was different. And so it was fascinating to me. I loved every minute of the research. I did about 4 months of it before I even traveled to Oklahoma.
Talk a little bit about what were the fashions they were buying. You called it once that they had Kardashian money thrown on them.
They did. But
people really read what we say.
I know. Can you believe
it? Of course we do research. Like, so, you.
One of the things that they had in the town of Fairfax, I mean, each district had their own mercantile type of stores, you know, which were early day variety stores. But when you look at the one in Fairfax, it was called the Big Hill. They had a funeral home in the bottom of it. You would have caskets over to one side. They sold Pierce arrows out of it. They had, Tiffany's had a counter that they had put in the Big Hill, just a small counter where they would go up and buy all these jewels. You had Paris couture. You had a lot of couture fashion that was going on, and they traveled to that, but they also had places that were opening up and coming into our community for all different types of goods and merchandise. So that's really how, you know, they followed the wealth, and they came to find us, and we were buying.
The Harrods of the day. Harrods was for the Kuwaitis, you know, in the 70s. Mm-hmm. Big Hill Trading was that for
it
the
was,
Osage.
It totally was.
Department store probably in Oklahoma.
That I'm sure of.
You mentioned the wedding, Ms. West. It's amazing, the scene of the wedding. Lily Gladstone Molly is incredibly powerful. For the listeners, maybe you could describe what her wedding attire looks like.
Julie, you take that because
okay.
Do Molly.
Okay, I am. Because of all of these brides that you see, this one of Molly, mm-hmm. She's showing almost every piece of artwork that is done by Osage. And so what you see here is you see this hat that is actually constructed from a top hat. That's how we make them. And you cut the tops out of them. And then they use these hackle feathers that they dyed. And they would put hackles in with usually a piece of French ribbon. And all of this has made its way down through history. And
from the early 1800s.
From the early 1800s. And our clothing silhouette has not changed for over 150 years. And so you see where she has this finger woven belt that's mm-hmm. And so everything that this bride has on, she's going to give away to someone. So there's layers of shirts underneath there. There's pins. There's another finger woven belt.
Because that's the tribal nation tradition, right? So that wedding you give away.
That's correct. And then she's got a ribbon work blanket on top of that, which we're known for cut and fold. And so this is really, you know, when we're showing that, we're really showing almost every single piece of what would be traditional clothing for us in that one particular silhouette.
It's masculine. It's a uniform, right?
Military. An Osage delegation in the early 1800s during Jeffersonian time went to Washington, D.C. And Jefferson was so impressed by the Osage. He called them the most magnificent people he had ever seen. The men were like 6'5". He was so impressed by them. It was on his part, he was catering to the Osage to make way for all of the people that were going to come through their lands and take them away from them. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a peace offering on Jefferson's part. But as we know, those peace offerings went awry when it came to breaking treaties, you know, then turning on the people that you've just tried to court. And one of the very statuesque chiefs of the time that was part of this delegation, probably coming from Kansas or Missouri
yeah.
at that time, admired one of the military coats on one of Jefferson's entourage. And this was the frock coat, very tailored, trotter length military coat.
The gold buttons and
the gold buttons, you know, and it has all kinds of Napoleonic tradition. And as the top hat did, you know, it was really Regency fashion. You know, the Americans, almost the trappers, both French, Europe, and European, British, Scottish, all the trappers practically annihilated beavers off the face of the earth for this hat. Mm-hmm. And it became such a status symbol of both for military men and for just high fashion, Beau Brummel-esque Regency fashion, that it was admired by the chiefs because it was something novel, you know. And Jefferson said, take your coat off and give it to the chief. But the chief was 6'5", and this guy was probably, you know, 5'8". And so he took it home and gave it to his daughter, and she decided to make it her wedding dress. But the Osage had a beautiful way of appropriating things and making them their own. And so it was decorated then with ribbon, French ribbon, with Wabanka pins, just in any way they could add something and make it Osage, and then putting a ribbon work skirt underneath it and adding a sash out of finger work and adding cutting the top out, adding the feathers, as Julie was describing. And that became a traditional coat.
She's actually wearing the military.
Yeah. It's 200 years
so
old.
Powerful.
And it was royal. Those were considered royal wedding pieces. One chief in the said he spent $50,000 on his daughter's wedding, which would be $1 million now. But as she described, they would have layers of clothes on, sometimes three coats,
well,
and give them away to people who helped. Yeah. Wealth was not what you had to an Osage, but what you could give away.
Correct.
They were the most generous peoples that you could, you know, ever do research about.
What is the scope? How many seamstresses did you have? How big was your department?
Well, aside from the people that Julie found for us to create authentic, you know, using Osage artisans, we wanted as many people to feel part of this, telling the story, as we could involve. But I had to bring people because I needed a workroom mainly to make for all of the principal roles. You know, you have to make multiples. And I had, I think, 10 seamstresses and then a head cutter fitter, Rosalie Lee, that I've done several films with. And then I had Derek, who was our men's cutter fitter. Mindy Eiler ran my workroom, and she was amazing. She had about 10 people working in there, and some were young Osage women who were teaching crafts to her people. And
how many costumes would you say there were in total?
2,000.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Now, I understand, Ms. West, that you have a tradition of hiding a secret item in one of your costumes. You practiced this throughout your career, like Chalamet and Dune had a little custom-made scarf. Can you tell us what you hid here?
something on Molly. What was it? I think it was a hanky.
It was a hanky.
Yeah. That was from France. I had my daughter send it from the south of France because there was a sister city because of a tradition. And it's
Montauban.
Montauban. Mm-hmm. And she went to Montauban. And I said, just buy something feminine, small for Molly. And we put it in her purse.
I think I have a little bit of time, Ms. O'Keefe, to ask you about the blankets. They're so beautiful. Would you explain, are there different ones? What do they symbolize, different families?
Well, so there are different ones. And for women, basically, they're either wearing a Pendleton blanket as a stripe, which is like an everyday blanket for us, or a ribbon work blanket, which is the cut and fold I was talking about that was around Molly's in the picture. Mm-hmm. Those are for life events that would be a celebration, a family day, you're honoring someone, you would wear it for that. I have one actually that I've worn to the White House 3 times. And so I still carry that tradition with me. Then they also have shawls. And so there are different shawls that women wear. I mean, depending on the time of year and how you would wear that around the house. If you're taking care of someone. And then for men, so for women, it's about 6 different ways to wear a blanket, depending on your life event. And then for men, it's around 4.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
And so, like, you have Chief Bonnie Castle, who's wearing this long blanket and he's got it rolled up statesman style, but it's around his shoulders, and that is called peyote style. That is for a leader. So the significance of the blanket is really watching, because you can tell what life event is happening to someone if you see how that blanket or that shawl is folded and what they're wearing.
Leo wears one at the wedding.
And Leo wears one at the wedding.
And that's Molly making him, bringing him or him into her world. Oh, Molly's blanket armor. That when she went to talk to those greedy and those guardian snakes, she has a blanket on and it's like almost
power suit.
Yeah, a power suit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's like, so powerful. It's so regal. And Molly is such a powerful actor. I mean, it's incredible. Those, when she walks in with her straight back and the blanket, and it's amazing. Miss West, what did you learn from working with the Osage, the seamstresses today, and how they work? I mean, what did you bring with you after this project?
Oh, so much. I mean, mainly the relationships, my friendship I cultivated with Julie, getting to know Chief Standing Bear. It was a dream come true project for me. What I took away from it was really a appreciation for a Native nation that I knew nothing about before I started this, except I knew their name from having done a Malick movie in Pawhuska. Mm-hmm. Most people don't know this, but Terrence Malick lived in Bartlesville most of his life from about 7 on. But when I got there, I didn't know about the Osage. Somebody told me on the Malick movie, because like I said, it's a culture that's not taught, we aren't taught about in American school system. So that richness and the friendships I developed is, I think, a great gift that I took away. This was really a high point in my career.
Thank you very much to Jacqueline West and Julie O'Keefe. Killers of the Flower Moon will be out in theaters on October 20th. And thank you so much for listening to Pop Culture Confidential, a part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
Coming up on 5-Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because The news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5-Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.